Amen. Good morning. We all doing okay? Y'all look good. Most of you look good. I don't want to lie. It's never good when a pastor lies from the pulpit. But no, you do. You look good today. Welcome today. We are so glad that you are here with us. I just want to follow up with that video and just encourage you. Faith Promises are going to be happening in a couple weeks when we have our missionary guest and when we do that potluck dinner, all those kinds of things. And so it's above and beyond the tithe and just giving towards missions. Whatever you give towards missions goes to missions. It doesn't, none of it's held by our church. We send it out. It goes into our missions budget, then gets sent out to various missionaries around the world. And so what a way to partner with fulfilling the Great Commission. Three ways we fulfill the Great Commission is we pray, we give, and we go, right? Those are the three ways that every one of us fulfill the Great Commission. By getting on our face before God and praying for souls to be saved. And then we can give to missionaries that are going around the world spreading the gospel. And then we ourselves go, whether that's on a missions trip like some are going in a few months to El Salvador, or whether that's just going across the street and sharing the love of Jesus Christ, right? Those are the ways that we support missions within our lives. So we just want to encourage you to continue to do that. Well, today we're just going to continue in our series. Pastor Jeremy preached last week. He did a great job, didn't he? Yeah, great job just preaching and spending time leading through that time. And he went through the way that the Lord leads us as our shepherd. And so today we're going to really dig into verse 3, and that's what we're going to park on today out of Psalm 23. That's the series we've been walking through. We're going to continue to walk through. There's six verses, so that means we have three more weeks after this that we're going to touch on this passage of the 23rd Psalm. So rich, right? There's so many powerful things that we can learn from this passage, right? God is our shepherd, and he leads us beside still waters. What a beautiful picture that is, right? That he leads us beside the still waters. And so today we'll talk about how he restores our soul. And there's moments and seasons in our lives that we just need restoration in our lives. The 23rd Psalm, it's been a psalm that's touched so many lives. Some say millions, maybe even billions of lives have been touched by the 23rd Psalm. We read it a lot during funerals. People have read it during different seasons in their lives where they've been struggling or going through, some dark times in their journey. And so, you know, the 23rd Psalm is so powerful as we walk through so many different issues and problems and situations in our lives. This world promises a lot of solutions to the problems that we face, right? There's a lot of solutions out there. This last week, I was down visiting my mom. It was her 80th birthday in the end of January, so we celebrated, Mom, if you're watching, I love you. And while we were down there, we spent a few days. She lives in Waxahachie, Texas, which is just south of Dallas. But we went down to Waco and spent a little bit of time there. If you're those, what is it, Chip and Joanne Gaines fans, we did go to the Silos. Anyway, the ladies love that stuff. But anyway, I was like, okay, what do we do next? Let's go do something. But while we were down there, my siblings, you know, some of them have younger kids and grandkids, and they went to this children's museum. Myself, my wife, and my brother-in-law, we didn't want to go to the children's museum, so we ended up at the Dr. Pepper Museum. Any Dr. Pepper fans out here? Yeah, a couple of Dr. Pepper fans. I always loved Dr. Pepper, especially when I lived in Texas. I don't know. It's a Texas thing to do is drink Dr. Pepper. But, you know, we went there and there were some promises made at the Dr. Pepper Museum. We came across this old ad. I have a picture here of some things that Dr. Pepper promises. Partial list of life's big and little troubles that Dr. Pepper will help. I won't read them all. But there's some big promises that are made there about Dr. Pepper. I like the one there, bad mamas and mead papas, right? You know, Dr. Pepper will help with that. I don't know how it does, but anyway, the 10 o'clock blues, 2 o'clock blues, 4 o'clock blues, I don't know. It helps with your poor golf scores. Anyone need some help in your golf game? Yep. Okay. Drink Dr. Pepper. According to them, it will help some way, somehow. But anyway, there's a lot of promises, right, that are made that obviously Dr. Pepper did not meet. And this goes back to some older days because this is an old ad. But anyway, lots of things that Dr. Pepper promises. But let me tell you something that will not let us down. And that is our Good Shepherd, right? You know, walking in step with our Good Shepherd, we can, you know, find a lot of problems to some answers and some problems and some issues in our lives. You know, so Jesus is our shepherd. But what kind of shepherd is he? It's hard for us to understand because we don't see many shepherds around in our culture, do we? Now, we didn't drive to church today and see, you know, a shepherd with their flock of sheep, you know, as we drove to church today. We don't see that very often. In some places of our country, you do see that still, some shepherds, and maybe they have herds of sheep, but we don't see that very often. And so there's a guy by the name of Philip Keller, and I think Pastor Jeremy alluded to him and quoted a little bit from him last week. He wrote a book. He grew up in East Africa and around shepherds like those in King David's day. And then Philip, spent 8 years as a sheep rancher. He wrote a book, The Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. And here's some of the words that he wrote. He wrote, "One of the best things about the Good Shepherd is this. He loves his sheep. For him, there's no greater reward, no deeper satisfaction than seeing his sheep contented, well-fed, safe, and flourishing in his care. That's what a good shepherd's life is all about. And he gives everything he's got to the task. From early dawn till late at night, the good shepherd is alert to the welfare of his flock. Throughout the day, he looks over his sheep to make sure that everything is all right. Even at night, he sleeps with one eye open, ready to get up, protect his sheep at the first sign of trouble." What a beautiful picture of the shepherd on his care and his tender care for his sheep. And our good shepherd has a tender care and a watchful eye over us as his sheep. That's the kind of shepherd that we have in Jesus Christ. We have a great shepherd indeed. So let's read together. Why don't we stand up today? You ready? Let's stand up for the reading of God's Word. If you can and are able, then go ahead and stand up. And we're going to read these words together once again this week from the 23rd Psalm. It's the ESV version that we're going to be reading off the screen so that we can all stay in sync with one another. But let's read these words from the 23rd Psalm together. You ready? "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You may be seated. Powerful words. Right, the words of God, the Word of God. And here we have this beautiful imagery of the Lord being our shepherd. What do we what do the following men have in common? You ready? Here's a list of men from Scripture. They're all in Scripture, they're all men. So those are the easy answers. But other than that, listen to this list and think about what they have in common. Jacob, Samson, David, Peter, Paul. Here's what they have in common. They were all men who loved God deeply, but at various points in their walk with God, they may have stepped away from their relationship with God and stepping away from walking as fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, and they needed to be restored into fellowship with God. I'd be surprised if we couldn't add our name to that list, right? You know that we at various seasons in our lives have maybe stepped away from God in various aspects of our journey and of our walk with God. And we needed to be restored into a relationship with Almighty God. As Robert Robinson put it in the great hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, he wrote these words, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You remember those words? You've sang them probably. If you've been around church, you know, over the last several decades, you may have sang those words. But have you seen that in your own life, in your own walk with God? Those moments and those seasons where you may have been distant in your relationship with Almighty God. As we continue to study with Psalm 23, we'll come to God's antidote for wandering. The title again is He Restores Me, right? That's what He does in our walk with Him. So we'll look at verse 3. He restores my soul, and He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The first point that I want to look at today is that as we follow the Good Shepherd, He will lead us to a satisfying life. Amen? Our God leads us to a satisfying life. We might not get everything we want. You know, God doesn't give us the answers to all the requests that we have and answer them exactly the way we want Him to answer them, right? Because He's God, and He knows what's best, and He's going to give us the answers that He thinks is best in our situation. Sometimes He answers yes, sometimes He answers no, sometimes He answers not now, right? That's the answers that God gives us. We love the yes, we struggle with the no, and man, we sometimes really struggle with the not right now, and those answers that He gives us to our cries, to our prayers, to our petitions that we lay before Him. But as we follow the Good Shepherd, He will lead us to a satisfying life. Let's look over at John chapter 10. Psalm 23 and John 10, they kind of go together, talking about the idea of God being our shepherd, of Jesus being our shepherd. So we're going to read these words, John 10, 6 through 10. It says this. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what He was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Beautiful passage, right? Just that idea. So what's going on here? What's happening here? There's an I am statement from Jesus, and there's several of them throughout the book of John. John highlights these I am statements, and that's a good study for you sometime to research the I am statements in the book of John. But here he has a statement that I am the door of the sheep. What in the world does that mean? Jesus is the door of our salvation, right? You know, it's through Him, through His shed blood on the cross, that we can have forgiveness for our sins. In Palestine, the hillside sheepfolds were three walls with an opening. That's what they looked like, you know, physically. Several things happened when the shepherd called the sheep into the sheepfold at night. One commentary I read said this, that a shepherd would call the sheep into the fold for the night, and he would hold his staff low to the ground. Then the sheep would have to dip low beneath that the shepherd would inspect each sheep as they went in to see if there were any injuries or anything that he had to deal with every sheep as they entered into the sheepfold. If he saw something, he would pour oil on them. He would help bring healing to their needs and their situations every night as they went into the sheepfold. Once they were all in place, he would lay down and he would physically become the gate, the doorway into the sheepfold so that the sheep wouldn't wander out at night and so the predators wouldn't wander in. So he became that door between the shepherd and everything else, between the sheep and everything else that was going on. So Jesus is our door. It's only through Jesus that we can enter into the sheepfold. It's not by anything that we've done or we continue to do. It's only only by the grace that's been given to us because of Jesus' death on the cross. That's the only way that we can find a relationship and become part of the sheepfold. Only through our shepherd's sacrifice can we enter the door of Jesus Christ. Many people will come to you and say that they have the answers, but only through Jesus will we find healing. Only through Jesus will we find strength. Only through Jesus will we find the protection that we need in our lives. He is the gate. He is there to serve as the shepherd, to have tender care over his sheep. Then we read that there's a thief, right? So here we have the shepherd being the doorway, the gate to the sheepfold. And then we have the thief. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What a picture of the enemy, right? The enemy that we have in our lives. The enemy wants to steal, wants to kill, and wants to destroy. The enemy wants you to walk away from your relationship with Almighty God. And the enemy won't cease to do everything he can to tempt you to walk away from your relationship with God and your relationship with God's people. And so the enemy wants to destroy some things in your life. The enemy wants to destroy your personal relationship with God. The enemy will do everything he can to get you to walk away from God. The enemy will do everything he can to get you to stop reading God's word, to get into those busy and non-productive seasons in your spiritual journey where you're no longer listening to the voice of God. You're no longer reading the word of God. You're no longer praying like you should. The enemy wants to destroy your family. The enemy wants to do everything he can to destroy your family. He wants dysfunction and disunity to happen in your household so that your household is not a place of peace or a place of joy or a place that God wants and needs it to be. The enemy will do everything he can to destroy this church. The enemy wants to destroy Bethel Christian Church. The enemy wants to do that. As we continue to see God move in greater ways, in greater capacity, and as we continue to walk in everything that God wants us to be, the enemy is going to be going after us, trying to destroy this church. And we need to do everything we can to stand firm, right, in who God has called us to be. And so the enemy wants to destroy your family, wants to destroy your walk with God. The enemy wants to destroy your church. And the enemy wants to destroy your prayer life. I think that's a major thing in our lives. The enemy wants you to stop praying. There's great power in prayer. There's great power at our disposal as we get on our face before God. I ask you the question that only you can answer. How much time and how much intensity did you pray with this last week? Did you spend time like you should on your face before God, crying out to the God of the universe to move in our church? How much time did you spend on your face before God crying out, God, move in my family? How much time have you prayed, God, move in my life, help me to become everything you need me to be? How much time and intensity did you spend on your face before the Lord this last week? The enemy wants to do nothing more than destroy your prayer life. He's done that in all through the Word of God. We can see Daniel. How about that one, right? Stop praying. And Daniel, what happened when Daniel heard that edict? He went and he prayed. He said, you know what? The enemy wants me to stop praying right now, but I'm not going to stop praying. In fact, I'm going to go pray right now. He went to his room and he prayed 3 times a day. What happened, right? Daniel faced some punishment as a result of that, but it didn't stop him or make him back down in any ways. This last couple of weeks ago, I went to this conference, and one of the statements that was made has been just resonating in my spirit as after I heard it. He said this about prayer: the victory that we see today are due to the prayers of the previous generation. The victories we see today are a result of the prayers of the previous generation. And that's so true, right? The things that we see, the victories that are going on today, are a result of the prayers that people prayed back then. This church has been around a long time. And guess what? The victories we're seeing today are a result of the prayers of the saints from years ago. And it's beautiful that we're still here, standing strong, going forward as a church body. Why? Because people prayed years ago that we would continue to be going after souls in this area and helping people come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then the guy that was presenting, he went on to say, but if we're not praying, then we're robbing the next generation of their victory. If we're not praying like we should, then we're robbing the next generation 20 years from now. You know, 20 years from now, I'm going to be older. I'm going to be retired maybe. I don't know. Maybe I won't ever retire. Who knows? You know, you look at life and you say, I don't know if I'll ever be able to retire, but maybe one day, right? You know, and so who knows where we'll all be 20 years from now, but I pray that this church, if the Lord's still tarrying, if he hasn't come and raptured us out of here, I pray this church is still existing and thriving and doing great things for God in the next 20 or 100 years from now. But we need to be praying that God will continue to move today and God will continue to move in the future. And so I challenge us to be a praying church. We need to take the next step in being the praying church that we need to be, you know, in this generation. Praying is the most important thing that we do in our lives and in our ministry. Praying is the most important thing we will do in our lives. Going after God, spending time investing in prayer, doing spiritual battle on our face before the Lord. It's the most important thing we can do in our lives, yet the enemy wants us to walk away from praying and get distracted from all the problems and issues in our lives, and we step away from that. And then we talk about our shepherd. Our shepherd, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Isn't that beautiful? That we can have an abundant life when we walk in our relationship with Almighty God. He's our shepherd. He's leading us to good things, and we can live a satisfying life. Again, it doesn't mean we have all the things we want, but when we're walking in partnership with Almighty God, it doesn't matter what kind of storms or trials might be coming at us. We can stand in victory because we are on the side of victory. We have Jesus walking with us in every moment of our lives. Isaiah 26:3-4. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Right? We're called to trust in God no matter what's happening. God will keep us in perfect peace when we have our mind fixed on God, when we trust in God. And when we trust in the Lord is our everlasting rock. He's there for us in our journeys. Romans 15:13 says this, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. How many are overflowing with joy and peace right now? How many through this last week were just overflowing with joy and peace in every situation? I don't think every one of us could stand here and say, yes, that was me. I was overflowing with joy and peace in every situation, right? You know, if we watched you all week, maybe we had a camera fixed on you, and then we played it on the screen, you know, would we see joy and peace in every situation? Probably not, myself included. I hope you didn't watch me, right? Because we need to overflow with joy and peace in our lives. Isn't that a beautiful thing that God's Word teaches us? May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Through the power of God's Holy Spirit, you can abound in hope. So joy, peace, hope, all those things, right, that we can have as we walk in relationship with Almighty God. It's a beautiful promise of God's Word. And so I challenge us, we need to trust in God, and we receive peace as we trust in God. And then we start overflowing with hope as we trust in our Heavenly Father. God will lead us into a satisfying life as we continue to walk in step with Him. Secondly, as we follow the Good Shepherd, He will provide restoration to us. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Life is sometimes unfair. Life is sometimes painful. Life can really mess us up in different seasons and different times, different trials that we face. That's what life does to us. But what's beautiful is that our shepherd is there with us, And not only is he there with us, he restores us. I love the restoring power and restoring nature of my God. What a beautiful thing that we can walk in unity and in harmony with the shepherd that restores us. Have you ever needed restoration or a season of restoration in your life? There's probably been moments. There's probably been seasons of just restoration is needed. Those moments, our God is there with us to bring that restoration into our spirits and into our lives. Because sheep are careless, curious, and cantankerous creatures. A lot of C's there. You like that? Little alliteration for those English people out there. Don't listen to anything else I have to say because it's terrible English. But anyway, they often need to be restored. Sheep often need restoration. The word restore means to bring back to former or normal state, whatever that is, right? You know, bring back to the former or normal state of life, right? To make new. Sheep can get lost faster than any other animal, according to what I've read. They get lost pretty quickly. They can be, this can be very serious for many problems. They could fall and get hurt. A predator may pounce on them. Or they may become cast down. A sheep can become cast down, which means they end up on their back with their legs in the air. And they're stuck. They can't get up. Have you ever felt like that? Maybe physically. I'm just stuck here. I can't get up. Right? Or, you know, maybe spiritually, maybe emotionally, right? And you know, that a sheep gets cast down. It could be because they get a little chunky. Okay? Nice way to say fat. Right? Or it could be because they just have a lot of wool, a lot of fur on them, and they can't, I don't know if it's fur, I don't know what the right word is, but anyway, whatever that sheep grows, right? Maybe it's because they have all that on them, but they get cast down. Maybe they just roll over and get stuck in a hole. Whatever it is, they get cast down, and there they are laying on their back, you know, legs in the air. Pretty humorous kind of a view of a sheep. But when that happens, you know, and when a sheep gets lost, a lot of times, from what I understand, that's the one of the first images that a shepherd has of their sheep, is that perhaps they're cast down somewhere. I need to go find them. Why do they need to find them? Why is there so much urgency in that moment to go find that lost sheep? It's because they're easy pickings at that point, right? You know, the birds can come and start eating at them. You know, coyotes or animals can come. There's no fight in them at that point. All they can do is flail their legs, right? They can't do anything else. And so a shepherd is like, this sheep is lost. I need to get to them. And what I read, you know, is that the beautiful thing happens when the shepherd finds this sheep that's cast down. He takes this sheep. He rolls it over. And then he stands with one leg on each side and helps it stand up and then just holds it for a moment and then starts rubbing its legs till the blood starts flowing again, and so then the sheep can get moving again. But it's in those moments that the shepherd is closer to the sheep than in any other moment. And that's beautiful because there's moments in our lives where we feel stuck, where we feel cast down, where we're in those moments where we're like, God, I don't know what to do here. I just feel trapped by whatever it might be. And that's where the shepherd comes to us and helps us stand right back up, holds us close, right? It's in those moments that we can get things moving once again because this good shepherd comes and takes care of us if we're willing. I don't know, maybe a sheep can start kicking at the shepherd, right? And the shepherd's like, forget you then, you know? But our good shepherd is there with us. Our good shepherd can help us in those moments of our lives. What a picture of God staying close to Christians. He looks for us when we've wandered off. He restores us when we're cast down. God is the God of second chances. I'm so thankful that Christianity is a series of new beginnings. Right? How many new beginnings have you had in your walk with God? There's been moments after moment after moment that you can probably look back in your life and say, this was a moment where I had a new beginning. This is where I started walking away from God. Here's another moment where I had a new beginning, a fresh start with my God. And he's there with us, right? And we can have those moments of new beginnings with our God. Not only does he restore us, but then he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads us where we need to go. What a beautiful image of our shepherd. We need the Lord to lead us in every area of our lives because we need him to lead us. If he leads us in any area of our lives, we need him definitely to lead us down the paths of righteousness. How many need more righteousness in your life? If you didn't raise your hand, at least you shook your head, I hope, right? Because every one of us, we need that in our lives. We need to grow in our relationship with Almighty God. He leads us in paths of righteousness. He leads us down the path of righteousness. We must understand that this isn't just about external behavior, but it's about an internal transformation. It's that idea of walking with our God, walking with our shepherd every day. When I follow the shepherd on paths of righteousness, my life is abundant, fulfilling, and joyful. But as I quit following the shepherd in some area of my life, I wander off the paths and I lose a lot of good things, that a lot of blessings that God wants to give me in my life. God longs to lead us in paths of righteousness. How does he lead us down this path? Well, it all began at the cross, right? The cross of Calvary. That's where we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and he takes up residence in us through the power of God's Holy Spirit, and he leads us down the paths of righteousness as we continue to follow the voice of God and the voice of our shepherd every day of our lives. God's provision is personal. It can be seen in his giving us contentment, nourishment, restoration, and guidance. God leads us in the way that we need to go. Last point that we want to look at really quickly today is that as I follow the good shepherd, he will lead us down the right path. Not only will he lead us, he'll lead us down the right path. If he leads us down the right path, we must be careful not to go down the wrong path. What are some ways we go down the wrong path in our lives? We go down the wrong path when we start ignoring God's word. Have you ever ignored God's word? Have you ever said, well, you know, that attitude is not appropriate, that behavior is not right, you know, this gossiping is not the way that I should be living my life? On and on we can go. When we start ignoring God's word, we're going down the wrong path. When we stop listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, when we stop listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, we're going down the wrong path in our lives. When we start going against good, godly advice, maybe God puts someone in your path and tells you this is what you need to do. Here's some good godly wisdom or advice for you. And we ignore that good godly advice, you know, that could be going down the wrong path. When we disobey God's commandments, when we start feeding on the wrong food, there's a lot of things in this world that say they're going to satisfy our hunger, which really can only be satisfied through a relationship with Jesus Christ, that spiritual hunger of our souls. When we start feeding on things of this world and we start looking at those things of this world as more important than our relationship with God, then, you know, we're going down the wrong path. When we start following ungodly friends, right? When we start following ungodly friends, people that don't have a relationship with God. It's bad when we ignore good godly advice, but even worse when we start following ungodly advice in our lives. We need to make sure the advice that we're listening to is from men and women of God that love God, right? That's the best advice we're going to find in this world, right? Making sure that we're lining up, you know, the advice given to us against God's word and say, is this good, helpful, accurate advice in this situation of my life, right? We need to make sure that we are listening to good, godly advice and not following ungodly friends. The word path means well-defined or well-worn trails. Well-defined or well-worn trails. This is one bit more of evidence of how dumb sheep are. Even when the path is obvious, sheep will stray. Even when the direction is obvious right before them, the well-defined path in front of them, they wander off. And they say, no, I think I'm going to go this direction instead. You know, I'm going to go over here instead. I'm going to go do this instead. Even when it's well-defined path in front of them. Since the shepherd knows the trails, he can guide them in the best way, right? Here's some ways. Again, verses 2 and 3. We have Pastor Jeremy talked about verse 2 and a little bit of verse 3 last week. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Anyone enjoy laying in green pastures? Maybe if we're a sheep, we do, right? Lay down in green pastures beside the quiet waters or the still waters. I love getting off in the woods and just listening to the water, you know, trickle by in those mountain streams. Man, how relaxing is that, right? He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The good shepherd always wants to lead us the right way, but first we must realize that we're sheep. God calls us sheep, and the truth is we're like sheep in some not so good ways. Sheep are stubborn. They also get lost, and they tend to go their own way. On top of that, they have a poor sense of direction and extremely poor eyesight. Did you know that about sheep? Those are all true about sheep. You know, they don't know where they're going. They can't see very well, and they're lost most of the time. On top of that, they have a poor sense of direction, right? And they get lost, and we, like sheep, get lost. Psalm 119, 176 says this, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Have you ever felt like that in your walk with God? I've gone astray, just like a lost sheep. I don't know why I'm going down this path, but this is where I'm going. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Isaiah 53:6 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. Have you ever done that? Can you relate with that at all? You know, those moments that we've done, we've gone astray, we've turned each one to our own way. We've turned to our own path instead of following the path that God laid out to us. And then it goes on to say, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The good shepherd paid the price for our crooked ways. And because of it, he is risen from the dead. He can lead us in the right ways. Best of all, Jesus can lead us to heaven by turning to the crucified and risen Savior, trusting in him, receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can get a relationship with God that lasts forever. What a beautiful image, again, of our shepherd that's there with us to restore us, to lead us in the right way in our lives. There's an old story that goes back many years ago in England. There's a Christian man who was walking through the countryside. He came across a boy that was taking care of his sheep. The sight of the man made him think of Psalm 23, so he asked the boy, have you heard of it, Psalm 23? And the boy said, no. And so the man explained that God is the good shepherd and who he is. He talked about the cross of Jesus and how Jesus, the good shepherd, laid down his life for the sheep. And then he used his fingers to help this boy remember this psalm. He pointed to each finger as he spoke the first couple of words of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Very simple, right? The Lord is my shepherd. When he got to his ring finger, he grabbed a hold of it and he said, you know, the thing I want you to remember about this boy is that he is your shepherd. He's not just a shepherd. He is your shepherd and has an intimate relationship with you. And that image, you know, stuck with that boy. He went home. He told his mom and dad all about that story of meeting this man and what he said about the Lord being his shepherd. And then, you know, the next winter, the boy was out with his sheep and he got lost in a storm. And sad to say, they did not find the boy in time. They found his remains the next day. But when they found this boy's remains, they found him doing one thing. Holding on to his shepherd, right? The Lord is my shepherd. And there he was, you know, holding on to his shepherd. And so in our lives, you know what? I want us to remember that the Lord is your shepherd. If we give our heart to Jesus, if we make him the Lord and master of our lives, there's promises here in God's word of what he does and how he cares for us. He restores our soul. And he leads us down the right paths. And he leads us towards righteousness. So I challenge you to keep following after that shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's a perfect shepherd. He wants to lead you to a satisfying life in your walk with him. So we talked about how we get on the wrong path, but here's how you stay on the right path. As we get ready to close, worship team, why don't you come on up? Here's how we stay on the right path. First, we need to trust wholeheartedly in the leadership of our shepherd. Trust completely in the leadership of your shepherd. Sometimes it might look like everything's falling apart and you're like, where is God leading me in this moment of my life? We need to trust wholeheartedly in the leadership of our shepherd because he's leading us into good things. He's leading us in good ways. We can trust in him even when it doesn't feel good. We can trust in him. The second thing that I want us to look at as we get ready to close is that we need to obey what God's word teaches us. That's how we stay on the right path, by obeying God's word. We stay on his path by just obeying him, by digging into his word. And I challenge you, if you're not opening God's word on a daily basis, start doing that. Start opening God's word. Start reading God's word. Start allowing God's word to just penetrate into your heart and into your life and to make some changes in your life. And the last thing that we can do to stay on the right path is we take delight in our shepherd. I love that word, delight. Take delight in your shepherd. Spend time just worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Take time on your face before him on a daily basis saying, God, I love you. God, I need you. God, I just worship you in my life. How much time, again, are we really passionately pursuing our King and our Lord? Take delight in your King. Take delight in your God. Take delight in him. And maybe some of us, it's been a while since we've really just delighted in our God and said, God, you are so good. God, you are so awesome. Just like we sang about a little earlier today, right? All those descriptive words about our King and our God. Are you really just taking delight in your God? Right? We need to stop looking at the problems that are in our lives and start getting our eyes fixed on our King, the author and perfecter of our faith, the God that's there that we can trust in every situation of our lives. And so I challenge you today, if you're in the midst of a storm, get your eyes off the storm for a while. Get your eyes on your King and understand that he is a good God. He's a God that you can trust. He's a God that you can follow wholeheartedly in your life because he's a good shepherd and he's restoring you, wants to restore you, and he wants to lead you down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's stand on up around this place today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we love you so much. God, we're so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful for what you are doing in our hearts and our lives. And God, I pray right now, Lord, those that are in here that are going through difficult moments, those that are watching online that are in a difficult season, God, I pray that they will turn to you and God, that you would just come and give them peace and give them rest right now in the midst of their story, in the midst of their storm, in the midst of their problem. God, I pray that you would just come and just have your way in their hearts and in their minds and help us, Lord, to fix our eyes on you once again in our journey. God, we love you so much and are so thankful, Lord, that we can have a relationship with a good shepherd. We're so thankful that we can trust in you in all things. Hallelujah, Lord. If you're here today and you say, I don't have a relationship with a good shepherd. If you're here and you say, I need to give my heart to Jesus. I want to make him the Lord and master of my life, or I need to rededicate my life to him today. I don't want to miss this opportunity. I want to just challenge you right now that you, all it takes is just saying, God, I admit I'm a sinner. God, I know you died on the cross for my sins. And God, I confess my sins to you. If you're here today and you need to give your heart to Jesus and make him the Lord and master of your life, I just ask you to slip up your hand real quick. I'm not going to ask you to do anything embarrassing. Just slip up your hand so I know I'm talking to you today. If you need to rededicate your life to Jesus, go ahead and do that right now. Lift up your hand. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you're here today, we're going to close this time by opening the altars and just worshiping our King. Take delight in your God and just start worshiping him wholeheartedly in this time. You know, maybe you needed to just come and find a place of prayer up here because we need to wholeheartedly go after our King and pray before our God. And so I challenge you before we leave this place, spend a few minutes just worshiping God. Spend a few minutes delighting in God. Spend a few minutes communing with him, by talking with him, by praying to him. And just spend a few minutes as we fervently seek after our King and our Lord before we leave from this place. These altars are open. You can come and find a place of prayer around these altars. You can pray where you are. I know that, but I encourage you to come forward and just find a place of prayer around these altars. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm going to get right down here and I'm going to spend time on my face before God, just worshiping him and crying out to Him, the God of the universe, and worshiping Him with all my heart, my soul, my mind. And so I challenge you today, before you go from this place, let's take a few minutes and let's go after God. Let's worship Him. Let's take delight in Him. And let's seek His face in this house today. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we're so thankful for Your presence in this place today. And God, I pray that You'd go with us this week. Help us to spend time in prayer. Help us to spend time delighting in You this week, God. And Lord, that we'll continue to follow after You with every aspect of our lives. God, restore us and continue to help us to walk in paths of righteousness for Your name's sake every day this week, God. We love You. We thank You. We thank You that we can trust in You and follow Your leadership in our lives, God. Go with us this week with Your anointing, Your strength, and Your power. We love You. We thank You. In Your name we pray. Amen. 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 I love you guys. Hope you have a great rest of the week. If you're a first-time guest with us today, you can go right through these doors. Our Guest Connect team would love to meet with you. If you want to go to membership class, you don't have to have signed up. Just come and join us. If you want to learn more about membership of our church, we're going to meet right down that hallway in the fireside room. I love you. Hope you have a great rest of the week and look forward to seeing you on Wednesday.